Our next case here this evening, Jim, is about a 55-year-old man, young person with low blood pressure, whose pulse stopped when an internal venous line was started. So what happened here?
What happened here, Frank, is he came to the emergency room with abdominal pain. And as you mentioned, he had low blood pressure. Hypotension is another way of saying it. His blood pressure was in the range of 55 over 42, which is extremely low. And as a result of that low blood pressure, he was given 4 liters of IV fluids, which initially improved his blood pressure. However, he became hypotensive again, and he was then admitted to the intensive care unit. The physician in the ICU decided that the patient would need something known as vasopressor support for his hypotension. Vasopressors cause constriction of blood vessels, Frank, and a consequent rise in blood pressure. And in order to do so, a resident placed a right internal jugular central venous line under the attending physician's supervision. And we talk about a central line or venous line. We're talking about a catheter that's introduced into the superior vena cava or right atrium for the administration of fluids or medications. The superior vena cava, I'm throwing a lot of medical terms out at you, is the large vein which returns blood to the heart from the head, neck, and both upper limbs. After the line was placed, the patient experienced a sudden onset of shortness of breath. He then went into pulseless electrical activity. A code was called, and the patient then received epinephrine, and his pulse was restored. However, a CT scan of the chest revealed that the right internal jugular central venous line had been misplaced and had resulted in a pleural effusion, which is an excess fluid accumulation in the pleura, which is the fluid-filled space that surrounds the lungs. The patient failed to respond to painful stimuli, developed seizure activity, and was then diagnosed with anoxic encephalopathy, which, as we heard from the prior case, is brain damage due to lack of oxygen.
So his lungs were filling up with fluid?
Fluid in the space that surrounds
the lungs. Okay.
That's right. And from this point forward, unfortunately, the patient's condition continued to deteriorate, and he ended up dying several months later. So the problem here is that the venous line was improperly placed, resulting in a host of complications for this patient and the ensuing spiral downward, which resulted in this patient dying, as you said, Frank, at a very young age of 55.
I don't know if we should go on any longer here this evening. We've had two cases and we've had two fatalities. But I don't understand how. I thought doctors, when they placed these lines, had to, or if they're doing some kind of surgery, they create like a roadmap or search out a roadmap in the body and should know where basically to put these important venous lines, and or if they were doing surgery, know exactly where to go to make sure they're on target.
Well, that's right. And, you know, most of the time it does work out and the lines are placed appropriately in the correct anatomic position. In this case, one of the things that can tell you whether or not the line is in the appropriate spot is if there is a blood return to the port. In other words, when you're placing the catheter, there should be some blood return to the port. In this case, there was none. And that was one of the indications that the line here was not in the appropriate anatomic position. So you're right, Frank. There are landmarks that can be used. There are, in some instances, imaging studies that can be done to verify the correct placement of the lines. And in this case, it was in the wrong spot. And it resulted in death for a 55-year-old gentleman.
You know, when we do stories like this, and I don't have any idea who the doctors are, and perhaps unless you're personally involved in the case, you may not know either. But you just wonder sometime when such grave mistakes are made, if some of these doctors are making these mistakes frequently. In other words, was this an aberration, more or less, as far as his practice is concerned, or her practice, maybe the first and only time that something like this has happened? Or is the person, you know, making these mistakes quite frequently?
Well, here it was a resident, a doctor in training, that placed the venous line, but it was done under the attending doctor's supervision. So you have a doctor in training here actually placing the line. And obviously, we need doctors in training to become attendings themselves down the road. But as I always tell people, both on the show and privately to my friends and family, it never hurts to ask the physicians caring for you who is going to be performing the particular procedure. Is it going to be the attending, or is it going to be the resident? And once that question is answered, it's entirely appropriate to ask the physician, how many times have you performed this particular procedure? Those are all legitimate questions, and physicians shouldn't be intimidated by those questions. A patient has a right to know, if they're undergoing a procedure or a line placement, who's doing it and how many times have you done it.
Do you also have the right to say, I would rather have the attending physician rather than the resident perform?
Absolutely. You can certainly say, Doc, I would like you to do this as opposed to the resident. And I guess the physician could respond, I think the resident is perfectly capable of doing it, and that may very well be true, but certainly the patient can express his or her preference prior to undergoing these potentially life-threatening types of procedures.
But in the emergency room, how many options do you have along those lines? Because it's not like you're scheduling something where you can ask all these questions. Many times you go to the emergency room, and you have, you know, the doctors and everyone else have to act rather quickly.
Well, that's true. In a real emergency, you might not have the option of expressing your feelings as to who performs a given procedure. But in a case like this, where the patient is conscious and is capable of making decisions, he or she, whoever it may be, has the right to express his or her preference.
You've been listening to 1-800-LAW-CALL. Please remember that proper legal advice depends on a complete analysis of all facts and circumstances. The legal advice given during this program is intended as general information only, and no attorney-client relationship is created with callers or listeners to this program. If you were unable to have your question answered during today's program, you can call 1-800-LAW-CALL at any time, day or night, and select option 2 to arrange a free and private conversation with a member of the law firm of Shakur, Federico, and Staten. Numerically, that's 1-800-529-2255.